Hey, God may use you in Mexico sometime in the future, so I hope that you'll be willing to go, all right? If you'll find your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, I'm going to take just a few minutes, Colossians chapter 1. As you're finding your place there, I just want to tell you that we've begun a capital campaign. We're raising funds to renovate our preschool space. I'm really excited about that. We're going to begin doing that. When the money comes in, we'll be paying cash for that. I told y'all several weeks ago that we would announce our first fruits offering amount. As of today, it's $39,280. First fruits means this is the first of 18 months of giving, or some will be given 2 years or whatever it ends up being. But we call it first fruits. And so I wanted you to know that. This is the beginning of the journey as we have given that. So I wanted you to be aware of it. I want to invite you to be a part of it. God is going to use us not only to change lives in Mexico and Ecuador and wherever else we may go. Some of us are going to Peru in a few weeks. But right here, through the lives of preschoolers and children. And so this is the beginning of a journey. Some of you are going to give every month. Some will give every week. It's, you know, we're all doing it different. Some will give, you know, a few big gifts along the way. So I just want to encourage you to be a part of it. And let's see what God can do. We've got to raise $400,000. That's a lot of money. So the journey has begun. And so I'm excited to see how that goes. Some have turned in pledges. We've had so far pledges of $153,790. So let's just see what God does through us over these next months. What a joy it is to be a part of kingdom work. And to know that as we give financially, as we go to places like Mexico, as we serve in our children's area here, as we work with our students, as we help out in the community or whatever it is that we're doing, that we have the wonderful privilege of being a part of what God is doing in the world. All right. I want to take just a few moments to focus again on our series that I've just simply entitled Hope. We've been talking about hope now for several weeks. And I had in my mind this week, for some reason I've got in my mind the faces of hope. And maybe I've seen that phrase somewhere. Maybe there's a program or maybe there's a theme or something like that. I don't know. But I was just thinking about the faces of hope. What does hope look like? Hope looks like a lot of things. It could be in the face of a young lady conquering or struggling maybe with cancer treatments and going through all of that, maybe a cancer survivor. I love this picture of the girl from Afghanistan wanting hope, looking for a better tomorrow. Could be the face of a little boy from Congo. But you know, I found that the bottom line is real hope always comes from above. Real hope is always found in Christ. And so that's what we're talking about over these weeks, is hope, where we find real hope. And we've looked at it from a variety of places, starting on Easter Sunday, talking about the resurrection and the hope we have in Christ. But we've been dealing with hope from a variety of different places. Today, I want to talk about our eternal hope, that it moves from just this world into the next. And I really want to talk about that. And I want us to think about heaven for just a little bit and think about what God has planned for us as His children. In Colossians chapter 1, God inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words. God had a message for us to challenge us to think about our eternal hope. He says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth." There's several things about this passage. We could dissect it and look at it from a variety of different ways. But notice how that in verse 5 is because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. I want us to understand that what God is saying to us in this passage, as we talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ from the dead. This is the basic bedrock of the gospel message. But notice that what Paul is saying to this church at Colossae, even as you heard this gospel message, it included a message of our eternal hope. The gospel message reminds us that not only did Jesus die on the cross for our sins and rise again from the dead so that our sins could be forgiven, but it's also a message that says God has a plan for our eternity. He has a home for us to spend forever in His wonderful heaven. And I want us to talk about heaven for a few minutes today, and not only heaven, but talk about hell for just a few minutes. You see, I think there's a couple of reasons why we need to focus on heaven. One is, I want us to be excited about where we're going. I want to challenge you. Give your life to Jesus if you haven't done it. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us. And one of these days, he's going to come back and he's going to take us to be with him for all of eternity. I want us to be excited about that and living with tiptoed anticipation of one day being with Christ for all of eternity. Life is not about what we're experiencing here. This is just a drop in the bucket. This is a tiny, tiny little drop in the bucket. Eternity is forever with Jesus in his wonderful heaven. Sometimes we get a little too wrapped up here. We get a little too ingrained. Our roots grow a little too deep. We need to be reminded this world's not our home. We're just passing through. And so we need to live like sojourners and anticipate our eternal hope. So that's one reason I want us to focus on it. Another reason is the way we think about heaven impacts the way we live on earth. It really does. It really changes how we live by the way we think of heaven. I like how C.S. Lewis said it. He says, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. So I want us to think of the next world that is to come, and I believe that it will challenge us to live for eternity, but do everything we can to influence our world to know Christ. So there's just a few things. I want to look at several scriptures. I want to use this Colossians passage to just sort of be a springboard today to talk about the hope that's laid up for us in heaven. First of all, I want us to see that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. There is a heaven and there is a hell. We know that. Now, I say we know that. A number of people, actually, I skipped this slide a minute ago, but it's interesting. I read a research done by Pew Research last year said that 72% of Americans believe in heaven. I was a little shocked by that, really. Honestly, I thought it'd be less than that. 72% believe in heaven. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going, but they believe in it. And so there is a heaven and there is a hell. You know, the Bible talks about it. The Bible says there is a heaven and the Bible says there is a hell. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe the Bible? See, the Bible speaks of hell. It does. It talks about a place called hell. It seems that hell isn't as hot as it used to be. Hell's become a more of a deep funk than a pit of fire. It seems like in our secularized culture and our educated culture, we seem to diminish the reality of this place that the Bible talks about. Way back in 2000, U.S. News and World Report did a poll that revealed that 64% of Americans believe there is a hell. 25% say that there isn't a hell, and 9% don't really know. Most respondents think of hell as an anguished state of existence or an unpleasant solitary confinement rather than a real place. Now, that was in 2000, 64%. Now, this Pew Research in 2015 said the overall number of people who believe in hell is now 58%, so it's beginning to drop. People are saying, I don't know, I don't really believe in hell. Now, I always tell you, wouldn't it be nice just if we could just say, well, I'd just rather not believe it. I'd just rather not believe in hell. Have you ever tried to deny the reality of something by just choosing not to believe it? I did. When I was 6 years old, I decided I wanted to be like Mary Poppins. And I climbed up on the roof of my house with an umbrella. I didn't just go off the end that's closest to the ground. I went up to the tippy top. And I jumped. And I crashed. I learned about gravity that day. And, you know, you can deny the reality of something all you want to, but, you know, the facts are the facts, and God says there really is a hell, and God does not want us to spend eternity there, but the Bible talks about it. It speaks of hell and its reality. Jesus gives us a little glimpse of hell in Matthew chapter 25. It's interesting, this passage talks about the judgment where he separates people, and those who do not know him as their Savior, the Bible says he sends them to an eternity without him. See, hell was made for the devil and his angels, Jesus says in this passage, Matthew 25:41. The scripture says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. See, hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, but Jesus says for those who deny him, for those who refuse to surrender their lives to him, he says they too will join Satan and his angels in this place that was made for the devil. But also the Bible tells us that hell is a place of punishment and torment for those who refuse Christ. Again, in this same passage where Jesus is talking about this great judgment that's going to happen at the end of time, it says these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And here's what we have to do with this. We've got to ask ourselves, number one, do we believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible to be true, this passage says that there is a hell and that those who do not know Jesus Christ will be sent away there to an eternal punishment. God didn't make that for people. He didn't make hell for human beings. But the Scripture says those who refuse Christ, those who choose not to surrender their lives to Jesus and allow Him to be their Lord and to be their Savior, will spend eternity there because they've said no to God. The Scripture also teaches us that hell is an eternal banishment from the presence of God. And we have a tendency to focus on the beauty of heaven and the horror of hell, but the greatest horror of hell is that God is not there. The greatest beauty of heaven is that we live in God's presence. Honestly, I think the beauty, the physical beauty of heaven is going to be in raptures. I think it's going to be amazing when we see it. But the greatest thing about heaven is that God is there with us. The Scripture teaches in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9, the Lord Jesus will deal out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. These are sad words in the Word of God, to say that those who say no to God will pay an incredible, eternal consequence. You see the importance of what we do with missions and why we want to go around the world and spread the gospel. We want people to know that Jesus saves. They don't have to spend eternity away from a God who loves them and made them for eternity. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a preacher of a previous century, said, "In hell there is no hope. The damned have not even the hope of dying, the hope of being annihilated. They are forever, forever, forever lost. On every chain in hell there is written forever. In the fires there blaze out the words forever. Above their heads they read forever. Their eyes are galled and their hearts are pained with the thought that it is forever." We need to hold on to that because I think we minimize hell and we just pretend like it's not a reality. But the fact is, your next door neighbor may be going to hell. You may be going to hell. Someone in your family may be going to hell. We need to understand the significance of this. God made us for heaven, not hell. And the Scripture says, for those who say no to Christ and His offer of salvation, they'll spend eternity there. But the Bible also speaks of heaven. And that's really what I want us to focus on. Isaiah chapter 6, the Scripture says, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne." The prophet Ezekiel said, "The heavens were opened and I saw visions of God." Do you remember Stephen, before he was stoned, Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Or how about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Paul speaking of himself in third person, he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven," he said. "And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, this man was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak." That's fascinating to me. Paul is saying that he had an experience where he went into heaven. He saw heaven. We've met people like that. My grandfather was one like that who died for a period of time. And he came back and he told us as best he could about his experience. So he could not put it into words. He could not explain how really amazing it was. So Paul talked about heaven. The Bible speaks of this place called heaven. Actually, in the book of Revelation, there's a great deal of explanation and description of heaven as our home. But what I want us to focus on for just a few moments is that the Bible teaches us that the Christian enters heaven instantly at death. I have people ask me that all the time as a pastor. So what happens when you die? Well, the Bible says the very moment we die, we leave this body and we go spend eternity in heaven. I suppose the only bad thing about going to heaven is that the only way we get there, unless it's through Christ's return and the rapture of the church, the only way we get to heaven is through death. A Sunday school teacher once asked her class, "What do you have to do to go to heaven?" And one little boy said, "Die." And I suppose that's right. And leaving this world sometimes is very, very difficult. But the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment. We know that. We know that unless we happen to live until the return of Christ, we know the Bible says every one of us are going to die. We go to funerals all the time, and we want to pretend like it's not a reality for us, but it is a reality for us. One of these days, we will die. And what is essential for us is that we prepare for that day now. You can't prepare for that day after the fact. We prepare by knowing Jesus as our Savior. We trust Him as our Lord. We surrender our lives to Him. And the Bible teaches us that the very moment we die, that very moment, we leave our bodies, this shell, this outside suitcase, we leave this thing, and we go to be with the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says it this way, "Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." So you see the two options. One is to be right here and not with Jesus. One is to not be here and to be with Jesus. So one of these days, this old body is going to wear out and I'm going to leave it behind. And my spirit, the Bible says, is going to go to be with Jesus forever. See, the Scripture teaches us we are either present in our body on earth or present with the Lord in heaven. That's really the bottom line message of that 2 Corinthians passage, but also this Philippians passage, where here in this Scripture, Paul is talking about his anticipation of eternity in these early verses, 20 and 21. He's talking about this anticipation. On down to verse 22, he says, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know." So he's talking about this choice of going to heaven or staying here. If I stay here, I have a fruitful ministry. He says, "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." You see what he's saying? He's saying, I am excited about going to heaven, but God wants me to hang around for a while because there's some work to be done. And you know, that's true for us. There is work to be done in our world right now. There's work to be done in your families. There's work to be done in your neighborhoods. There's work to be done in our community. There's work to be done in Pueblo Viejo, wherever it is that we're going, around the world. God says, look, you go and be my witnesses in the world. Now, one of these days it's going to be far better when you leave your old body behind and you go spend eternity with Jesus in His wonderful heaven. But in the meantime, He's got work for us to be done. So we're either present here in our body or present with the Lord in heaven. Now, the Bible seems to indicate that there may be, I want to be careful how I say this, but there may be an intermediate state for the deceased. Now, stay with me for just a second. Whenever we die, the Bible says our spirit leaves and goes to heaven. So what is that like? I'll say this doctrine of this intermediate state is an issue. I think it's very significant, but it's very fuzzy. We don't know a lot about it. Here's what we do know. It is not purgatory. It's not like you go hang out a while and everybody prays you into heaven. It can't happen because the Bible says our salvation is by grace through faith. It is the choice that we make to turn from our sin and to trust Jesus as our Savior. As much as I love my relatives who have gone on before, I cannot pray them into heaven. There is nothing in the Word of God that says I can do that. My salvation is dependent upon my choice, my surrender, me receiving the gift that God has offered to me through Jesus Christ. It's totally up to my response to His offer of salvation. We cannot pray our families in. But also note this, it's not soul sleep. Maybe you've read that somewhere, that we die and we just kind of sleep for a little while. We just sort of hang out, having a nice doze that lasts a few years. No, I don't think the Bible teaches that at all. There's actually several references in the Bible to personal conscious existence between death and resurrection. You see, the Bible actually teaches that there will be a resurrection. But what happens in between the time we die and the resurrection of our bodies? It's not a soul sleep. There is this personal, conscious existence. And again, this passage to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. This bodily resurrection does not take place until the rapture of the church. We know that. So what happens between now and then? I'll just tell you, we don't really exactly know, but we do know that we're going to be with the Lord. Do we have like this temporary body? Do we have something? It's interesting. We don't really know. It is interesting that whenever Jesus rose from the dead, you remember that place where Mary wanted to hold on to Jesus and He says, no, don't hold on to me because I've not yet fully returned. I forget the exact word, something like that. It just kind of gives us a little hint, a little clue of that eternal existence in heaven. But the Bible does seem to indicate that there's going to be something. When you die, you're going to go to heaven in some sort of state, some sort of intermediate. I call it intermediate because the Bible also says that the Christian will one day have a resurrected body. The Bible teaches that. One of these days, we'll have a resurrected body. I don't understand that. I'll just tell you, why doesn't God just give me a totally brand new one? You know, I'm good with that. Matter of fact, I could suggest a few changes. My brother always told me I had a big nose. You know, I mean, I would just say, could you trim that one down a little bit, you know? There's just a lot of changes. Jonathan graduated from college yesterday. I was excited about that. And so we were doing family pictures. And Ashley was taking some pictures of our family. And I was thinking, oh, that full shot, I wonder if we could do a little Photoshop and trim that one up a little bit. You know, would you give God a list of some changes you'd like to make? Just let him make you a new body. How about that? Well, here's what the Bible says. God's interested in your old body for some reason. He's going to resurrect the old body, the scripture says. The Bible says it's going to happen at the rapture. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So for some reason, God is going to resurrect this body. So instead of starting from scratch, he takes the DNA somehow, and he's going to resurrect this body, the scripture teaches. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says it this way, but someone will say, how are the dead raised, and what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished. And to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another fish. There's also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. Do you catch that? It's two different things. This body like this, it's not gonna go through eternity like this. I'm gonna have a perfected body, a completed body, one that's made for not just time, but for eternity. So the Christian will one day have a resurrected body. Note that our resurrection body will be different than our physical body. It's going to be different. There's also the heavenly bodies, and then there's the earthly bodies. It's going to be different. Now, will we become angels? I've been to funerals before, especially of little children. We have a tendency to want to make babies who die angels. That's wrong. The Bible does not say that you're going to become an angel. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we're just a little lower than God. We're not going to become angels. If you have a young one pass away, he or she's not a little angel flying around heaven. They're children of God. It's different. So we're not going to become angels. But our resurrection body will be different than our physical body. But our resurrection body will be recognizable to our friends and family. We know that. I think that's one reason God's going to use the DNA that we have. He wants to resurrect our body. There's going to be a similarity. There's going to be a familiarity. For example, Jesus called the people in heaven by name. Do you remember that? Abraham, Lazarus, Isaac, Jacob. He called them by name. In Luke chapter 24, verse 39, Jesus said, look at my hands. This is after the resurrection. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. So this resurrected body looked just like Jesus. And I think in heaven, you know, we're going to pass each other on the street. We're going to talk. We're going to chat. Sit down and have a little coffee. I promise it won't be Starbucks, though, but we're going to have a little coffee. I hate Starbucks. I don't think it's going to be there. But we're going to sit around, and we're going to enjoy, and we're going to know one another. I think there's going to be a familiarity. There's going to be a similarity, but our bodies will be different, but there'll be a familiarity. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were there, and they were recognizable. So we don't exactly know what it's all going to be like. We've got little hints in the Scripture, but the Bible does say there is a heaven. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to spend eternity there. If you don't, you're going to be separated from God for eternity in a horrible place called hell. So there is a heaven, there is a hell. Life is the opportunity for us to choose our destiny. God offers to us a choice, life or death. How do you choose? Many of us have family who've gone on before. If you know Jesus as your Savior, one of these days we're going to be reunited. We're going to know them. We're going to see them. And we'll spend eternity together with them. But we just got to understand, our hope, it's not temporal. Oh, there's a lot of hope in this life. Don't get me wrong. I have a lot of hope. I live every day with hope about my life that I'm living now. But our hope is really eternal. That's God's plan. So heaven's our home. You know, before I go on a trip, I like to sort of check it out. Do you do that? Don't you love internet now? You can take virtual tours. You know, you got a hotel you're gonna reserve. You can go online. There's some places. Matter of fact, I was writing in one of my books about this trip to the island of Eleuthera, and there's this place there called the Preacher's Cave. And you can go online to the Preacher's Cave and do this virtual tour, and you can go inside that cave, and on your computer, you can span and turn around, and you can see the whole thing, just what it looks like. It's amazing. Isn't that amazing? If you know Jesus as your Savior, heaven is your home. It'll do us well to think about heaven and what it's going to be like, what we're going to do there, how we're going to spend eternity, what it's going to be like to be with Jesus and to be with other believers who know Jesus as their Savior. And we'll do that some. The Bible's some limited. I really think it's limited in part because God wants us just to trust Him and to anticipate the greatest thing of heaven. It's not the golden streets. It's not the pearly gates. It's not the beautiful jasper walls or the stream running through the city of God. The greatest thing about heaven is that God is there. God is there. And you know what else is great about heaven? He wants you to be there too. So do you know Him as your Savior? That's our eternal hope. Heaven is our home. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Why not today do that? I want to invite us to stand together, please, and let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank You that You are preparing a place for us to spend eternity. Thank You that heaven is our home. The cross has made that possible. I pray for us here in this congregation. It's possible that some in this place have never trusted You as their Savior. God, I pray that today they would make that decision to turn from sin and self and turn to Jesus Christ and surrender their life to You. God, for many of us who are Christians in this place, may we live with heaven in our eyes. May we know that this world is not our home. Help us not to get so entangled in this life, because this life is so short. Eternity is forever. May we prepare for that. May we live for that. May we point others to that. And may our hope be in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to bring our service to a close and just give us an opportunity to respond. And maybe you're not a Christian. Why not right now, just where you stand, just call out to God. Say, God, I want to be a Christian. I want to surrender my life to You. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that You rose again from the dead. Please forgive me for my sin and come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Would you call out to God right where you stand today? Many of us in this place are Christians. And we would just have to ask ourselves, are we living in light of heaven? Are we living in light of eternity? Are we living with our eyes on our eternal home? Are we too wrapped up in this life? Maybe today would be a time of renewal and recommitment. It's also possible that you've been attending Sunrise for a while and you sense God is saying, this is the place for you to call home, and you'd like to come and officially take a step toward membership. I invite you to come while we're singing together. So let's sing, and you come as God directs.